Welcome to Handkerchief Dynasty, the 19th best Edmonton Oilers fan podcast. I am the Secret Professor, joined by my good friend and karaoke champion of 2023 in Lagano, the High Priest of Oilers Magic. How are you, High Priest? Looking forward to that karaoke championship? Such a ringer. They're not going to know.
It's not really a competition, I guess what I'm saying. Looking forward to it. It's
more like a grift.
It's just like, I don't know, not really looking forward to it, but I'll be happy to win the championship again.
Yeah. Well, karaoke is a really undervalued profession / vocation. We might as well just get right to it here. So game four is in the books. Another little bit of a wild one, although I honestly didn't really have any doubts that we were going to pull off a win there. We're seeing a lot of the same storylines. Ultimately, with a team playing as well as the Oilers have for the most part now in the second round, there's so many players you could talk about. There's so many storylines you could go to. I want to talk about Woodcroft. I want to talk about Connor. I want to talk about the growing consensus amongst mere mortals on planet Earth that Connor McDavid is doing something pretty fucking special right now. And like, honestly, him and Draisaitl are totally altering expectations of what a quote unquote hot start scoring wise in the playoffs looks like. They're redefining what that looks like for a generation right now, yeah. For multiple generations. That being said, it's not over till it's over. We still got to close things out with Calgary first and foremost. Colorado lost tonight to St. Louis, so that game, that series goes to game five.
Sweet.
Went to overtime. Cheering for that to go long, obviously. St. Louis 5-4 in OT. How did you experience that savage ballet, that twisted and beautiful rhapsody of sport that was game four?
I listened to the first bit of it because I was driving home from soccer, and then so I heard the
early goal,
Nugent's first goal,
yeah,
which was like, I don't know, Markstrom is out to lunch. I really thought he wasn't going to come back after the first period. I was surprised.
I mean, is their backup goalie really any like that much like of a real of a good option though?
Well, can he be much worse though?
Markstrom like, looks tired. For sure.
He's a backup for a reason. Like, that's what I keep hearing is like, well, the backup's like no better. It's like, well,
backup for a reason is like the most dual meaning phrase of all time. You know, it means both. I mean, you want to go to them, and also, well, they're the backup for a reason.
I guess so. But that was like
we don't even know the person's name. Who the fuck is the backup for the Calgary Flames?
Darth Vader.
If you held a gun to my
head, his name Darth Vader?
I thought it was Grand Moff Tolkien. Tolkien, man, we're just getting obliterated in faceoffs every game, but like, it's surprising how little I care.
I sort of care. I don't like.
I know you do. Face-offs. I know you do. I know you do. And people don't like it. There's other people that get really pissed off when players don't record a hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't bother me as much as faceoffs.
I know. Everyone's got their thing. Darth Vader. That's anyway, right. Wow. How did you know that?
Always leader of the
It says empire. Right there, birthplace Tatooine. There's no date. It says a long time ago in a hockey league far, far away.
So I heard that goal when I was driving home from soccer. And then I think I heard the next goal on the radio as well. I was getting Slurpees. And then I was home for the rest of the game. And I was really surprised that Markstrom came back out for the second period. I thought for sure he would be done. And the Oilers, I believe the second just sort of like kind of continued the ass kicking. And then in the third, things got a little bit weird.
Mm-hmm.
The Mike Smith goal, the thing that surprised me most about that goal, I mean, other than the goal itself, which I think was the longest goal I've ever seen in my life. And I'd wager that might be the longest goal scored. That's not like a empty net goal, like that might be the longest goal scored on a goalie in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like he was like at his own, like the faceoff dots in his own end.
But it was very surreal when it happened. Like the moment yeah. it happened, the way your heart sinks upon seeing that random shit going down
in such an important game.
Like I'm not surprised a lot of people jumped off bridges. But at the same time, when it happened, I was just like, okay, well, because I thought we had played played well enough to win the whole game. I figured.
That's Calgary has some good,
you know, Calgary played well as well. A lot of people are saying they deserve to win. I think both teams played good enough to win that game.
Yeah, Calgary didn't deserve to win. What surprised me most about that goal was how the mood in the arena didn't really change all that much. Like it felt like. And maybe it was because the moment was so surreal that you were just kind of like trying to wrap your head around what happened.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a gut shot. And I felt like
for some people it was. Some people were reporting, they like stopped watching. They figured that was the series right there. Like everyone's so triggered because everyone's primed from experience and they've got this weird learned health. And it's just like, I've just overcome it. I honestly was watching the first three games from behind my fingers. It's game four that has convinced me, okay, if I ever get too stressed out watching the game, you know what I do? You know what I did in game four? It was great. Classic strategy. Mute the audio, put music on. I'm listening to the fucking Kinks. It's the third period, and I'm like 30% less anxious. Plus, I'm listening to the fucking Kinks and watching the Oilers.
Sure, that'll work.
Yeah, it was great. I think they scored to I Want to Be a Superman.
Yeah,
or I Want to Fly Like Superman. That's a great
one. That's a good one. Yeah, I wasn't concerned. I was not concerned. I was pretty sure, I don't know, the Oilers just like, they're playing so well. And the Flames are like playing like shit. Like the Flames didn't deserve to win that game. Like measure?
I think the pressure.
They gooned it up and then they blew it. Rasmus Anderson.
They gooned it up so bad. They're so dumbest
penalty. And then they might have had a shot at it, maybe, but like they didn't. Like they're not bringing it to series. This has been a series that Calgary Flames fans will look back on and be disgusted by. And they'll talk about the Flames' effort the way we talked about the Oilers' effort versus the Hawks and the Jets. It's just like, where were you? You didn't show up. Like you had every chance to show up. And now, I mean, maybe they will now. The series isn't over yet. You know, the Flames are going to, but to come out like that wood. And Markstrom, like that
can
first
I,
goal.
Can I tell you my theory? Doing? Can I tell you my theory on why they're not showing up? Because like there's a special kind of pressure on Calgary. It's like a little bit different than the pressure in Toronto, a little bit different than the pressure in Edmonton. In Calgary, you know, it's a Canadian market. So the fans are like super thirsty. You know, they're just going on Instagram, just following all kinds of thirst traps. So thirsty. But then you get a coach like Sutter. He comes in. He's like, okay, we're going to play Sutter hockey. We're going to play playoff hockey because when the playoffs come around, we're going to be ready because we're going to have been playing playoff hockey the whole time.
Yeah.
And then that team, you know, the Oilers kind of broke their psyche because ultimately, like that style of hockey, one of its main cornerstones is an extremely solid defense. I mean, the first game they played against Dallas, it was a 1-0 win. You know what I mean? That's not going to succeed against the Oilers. And I think the pressure of having to, it's like a year's worth of buildup of being like, okay, we're doing all this so that at the right moment, we're still doing that. And they're getting to that moment. They're getting to that moment. And the pressure of having to do what they were promising to do for all this time is overwhelming to them.
Calgary also had one of the top offenses in the league, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely.
Like their high powered offense was one of the cornerstones of their playing like playoff hockey the whole year as well. And they haven't done that.
No,
like they're just like, and they've typically underperformed. Like Johnny Gaudreau in the playoffs, like I guess.
Keith Tkachuk, yeah.
Keith or Matt Tkachuk.
Is it Matt Tkachuk?
Has been completely absent as far as I'm concerned.
No, he got like three absences. He's got detention tomorrow from like 5:30 to 7:30 because he's had three absences in a row. I mean, I also think the fact that like when you're a dirty team filled with dirty players, like the Calgary Flames are so dirty. Like if they travel to Japan, when they land at the airport, everyone's going to point them towards the bathhouse and tell them to fucking wash because they're so dirty. And when you're a dirty team like that, and you're in the second round against the arch rival, you're like, hey, let's try a little bit of the dirty. It's like you're, it's easy to go to that well too much, which is exactly what they've done. Like all kinds of ridiculous, like bullshit.
I'm surprised.
Like once you open that box,
ridiculous bullshit. It hasn't been a physical series.
Well, you see them like slashing Drysdale's ankle like four times in the same shift. Like, I mean, who does that? Who fucking does that? Like dirty players, dirty teams.
I don't know. There just hasn't been a lot of scrums after the whistle. Haven't been a lot of massive.
Well, yeah, because we've been kicking their ass.
I guess so, but I mean, like they're not playing their game. I don't know what they're doing. Quite frankly,
I'm not disappointed in them. I'm perfectly happy for them to wilt under the lights here. It's great for us.
Yeah, but it's
if we can close it out in game five tomorrow, like get a little bit of rest against whoever, likely obviously. Colorado, because we need rest for some of our top peeps.
But to me, the top story of this series
is how bad Calgary sucks.
Where the fuck are the Calgary Flames? They won the division and they look like total shit. Other than like the first game, which was a gong show.
You remember how Jay Woodcroft was talking about, he kept on saying, you know, it's not like Mike Smith played 63 games. You know, he played 24 games or whatever, plus this, so he's at game 30, whatever. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know who played 63 games, right?
Yeah, Markstrom.
Yeah. So it could also be that like he's reaching like a point, you know. Whatever. I don't know. I also know that Vancouver fans are basically saying this is the like we know Markstrom can like suck it up sometimes. Yeah, like
Vancouver fans, right?
I mean, not that I pay them much credence. You should come on, Mike, if you're going to disparage. It's so Kafka-esque to be disparaged like a floating moniker.
Vancouver fans professing to know anything about deep runs in the playoffs is
a bit of a joke. Vancouver fans.
Quite frankly.
No, they're just talking about how Markstrom can be. That was all it was.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, like, based on what? Like, the one time he was in the playoffs with them during the bubble? Like, okay, guys. Good to know. Thanks for chiming in, Vancouver fans. Oh, really, Vancouver fans? Oh, thank you.
Well, I mean, I'd rather that. Like, that's at least more fucking legitimate than Oilers fans and media bitching about how we couldn't sign him for how many... I don't know. It's been, what has it been, 50 years we've been talking about that shit? Like, how long are we going to bring that up? How many years are we going to bring that shit up? Do other teams do that? Do like the Detroit Red Wings, they go on the local radio show and it's like, you know, 5 years ago, we really tried to sign this guy, eh? But he chose the other team.
I mean,
remember
like
that? We tried to sign him, eh? But they chose the other team. It's like, I don't get the point of that.
Well, I think the Oilers were talking about it because they were using it as like, they were like, that's why we never signed a goalie. Because we tried to sign Markstrom. I mean, and it was being offered. I mean, things have turned out, right?
Things have turned out fine. It is funny, though.
Let's not act like, things haven't
turned out.
Mike
Smith isn't great. You saw the whole snafu on Twitter today where it was like, because I, for whatever reason, at some point, I was like, okay, I'm actually going to, I notice, because there's a lot of like negative accounts that I don't really follow anymore. But every once in a while, they'll pick up under like, they'll peek out from under a rock and it'll be someone bitching about how Mike Smith is like not won us a single game. Meanwhile, he's leading the NHL playoffs with shutouts. I don't know. I don't know a goalie posting the most shutouts in the playoffs. I don't know if that qualifies as helping to steal a game, but it's like, yeah, I had a little bit of a back and forth. It's so weird to me that any Oilers fan who's complaining right now, instead of just being super anxious and wanting them to win and being super happy that we're still in it this far. We've been waiting fucking how many years for this, man? Like, I don't understand how in the second round, pushing our arch rival to an elimination game.
Yeah.
Is this the time to be like, hey, like fuck Mike Smith? It's like, what? Who are you?
No, it's crazy.
Where did you come from? Like, are you from Lagano or are you from Edmonton? I don't understand what's going on here.
Go easy on Lagano.
I will go easy on Lagano. Eventually, I'll learn how to pronounce it too. So I was listening to Jay Woodcroft's Media Veil today. I wanted to ask you about this. Because one thing that other people on Twitter and other podcasts are stealing from us is this concept that like perhaps the Oilers have the coaching advantage. So let's give them more free material. Be sure not to cite the source, you bastards. Man, I should like really never drink. Thinking of having a guest on to talk about strategies for abstaining from too much drink and such.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I think it's a pretty good idea.
Let me know. I'll set that one out.
Shouting out to Mike. But anyways, in the Media Veil today, Jay there was one moment where I can't remember who it was. It might have been Terry Jones or Jim Matheson asked him, you know, after that goal that Mike Smith let in, do you like encourage the team? Is there like something you say? And this is the answer where I'm beginning to become convinced. I have a theory. It's not yet proven that Jay Woodcroft is actually like a little bit of a hockey savant.
Yeah.
Because all he said was, well, you know, you don't want to do anything out of character or unusual because the players might see, like, they might, you don't want to show the players that like that goal affected you. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like that's so, I think he's one of his areas of brilliance is he's really adept at like mitigating problems and not, and like the way, for example, he never really throws his players under the bus because deep down he knows that's going to be anathema to the process.
Yeah.
And he's not going to freak out behind the bench and like swing his arms like a fucking ape and be like, what the fuck? I mean, he can get,
you know, the refs. Right, right,
I think the players like it when you take off on the refs, but like you're defending them a little bit. But I mean, they might
like it, but to your point, I get what you're saying. Is it disrupts?
Is it good? Yeah.
It's not normal behavior. It's like when you see somebody freaking out, it's like, it's upsetting in the sense of the word, not a negative sense of the word, but it upsets you as though you are a boat and someone is tipping your boat into the water, right?
Yeah. It's like, there's like a disruption across the surface.
It's a it's disrupting.
And I think like, the way that, for example, like Sutter didn't pull Markstrom as early as he could have, the way he's not really rolling with his offensive guys and the way it seems like the Flames players are frustrated and also just all the fucking horrendous penalties, that could not be good for the fucking comedy amongst Sutter and his players right now. And also like you, like every single fucking, like even the media veil, I think it was yesterday's, it might've been, no, I think it was yesterday's. It just ended with him being like, you know, Sutter was just like, well, you know, and like you, cause some reporter asked a question about shutting Connor down and he just like pointed at him. He's like, well, you know, like, unless you can do it, you know, there's no way we're shutting this guy down. Like, it's just like, there's no point in trying, which is a good message, I think, to send home.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know. Like Calgary is a really good team. We could see the Calgary we expected to come out in the next like 3 games and push it all the way to 7, knock on wood, God forbid. But you got to like our chances right now with like the number of players pulling on that fucking rope. Like, have you ever seen that many Oilers pulling on a rope before?
No, not since I was a little boy.
Like, it's like a, almost like it's up to like 17, 18, almost 20 guys, you know?
Well, I'd say the whole team is like pulling on the rope. There's no, and two of the guys pulling on the rope are like two of the greatest, like first ballot Hall of Famers, you know?
Like they're going to have, they could potentially have like double the points. Like at the end of the second round, they could have double the points of like the last 10 Conn Smythe winners each or some crazy shit.
I think at the end of the playoffs, I'm predicting Connor McDavid will have more points in the playoffs than 75% of the league got in the regular season. So what, that's like another, like, say he gets like 45 points, 50 points. That's what I'm predicting, which I think is more than like 75% of the league got in the regular season, right? 50 points for sure, that is.
Yeah. Okay, so Hedman won the Conn Smythe with 22 points in 25 games, which is a fucking lot for a defenseman. Both players have either tied or matched that right now. Ryan O'Reilly in 2019. Let's see the magic number. 23 points in 23 games. Okay, yeah. So Draisaitl needs one to catch with Ryan O'Reilly.
It's not all about points
here. I mean, they have to get to the fucking Stanley Cup final. Let's be clear about that first of all.
Yeah.
But like, just in terms of the buzz on these guys is off the charts. Just in terms of like auditory measurements, like our buzz chart, like the needle broke off and flew into space because everyone and their cousin is now being forced to become aware of, oh, you know what? Actually, like, especially Connor, like this Connor guy, is like fucking insane.
Yep.
And then it's kind of awesome because we have Leon Draisaitl stealthily like right there, only like 3 points behind him, I think, right now.
On one leg.
On one leg, but he's looking better and better all the time.
Yeah, but he's pretty banged up.
It's 3 points behind him. Kucherov hasn't had a point, but like Kucherov and Evander Kane are tied for third with 15 points. It's like Calgary, I think the glass cannon, mucho macho, like they when you play that style, you're ultimately giving yourself your own kind of Achilles heel, you know? Like you're putting that loaded gun into your hand after having a half bottle of whiskey, when really you should just be going to bed and not going down to the bar to argue with Barney about who was the greatest British prime minister of all time. Like the Calgary Flames, when you're willing to resort to violence as a personal experience and, you know, the history of, for example, U.S. foreign policy shows, you can make a lot of fucking mistakes and it's not necessarily an advantage, you know?
Yeah.
You open that door, like, are the Oilers opening that door? Like, no, they're focusing on checking, on, you know, like real hockey. That's what it does, is it takes you away from the hockey. It makes the game within the game, it overinflates it.
It wasn't just like violence that like got the Flames into this position, right? Like winning the division, like they scored a lot of goals. They were a really good hockey team.
No, it's not what got them to this position. It's what's losing them this series right now, at least being down 3-1.
I don't know. I'm
factoring in the undisciplined penalties under that same umbrella. That's in the same category. But the
Oilers have taken a lot of undisciplined penalties too. It's a slash or a Nurse and Kane.
They have, but they weren't
extremely undisciplined penalties.
They weren't
slash Nurse took.
They did not affect the game as much. I think the Oilers have an advantage in terms of how much it actually affected the game.
Because the Flames didn't score on them, right?
Yeah. Like,
that's why. But, you know.
And the Flames also took themselves out of it with, like, you know, that form, that formative major at the end.
Oh, my God.
That's kind of like the exclamation point on this theory. But it's the same thing in Game 3, you know? Like, it got silly, a little bit silly at the end. And the frustration shows. And the officiating is so terrible. Like, why you even would flirt with disaster, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the Flames are doing.
Don't you think it's weird that people flirt with disaster? Like, why? Like, what are you doing interacting with disaster at all? Is the first question. That's just kind of risky. And then you're going to flirt with disaster. Like, why? You like danger? You want someone to hurt you? Like, it's a very fucked up thing to do. Yeah, but like, then what's going to happen? A disaster.
Best case scenario, your flirtations pay off and you're rewarded with a sexy disaster.
A sexy disaster. To be honest, sex disasters are actually like the least sexy thing of all time. Like if you have like a sexual experience that ends in disaster, that's a memory you're going to be suppressing deep into your subconscious for a long time after that. Mark my words. My words, my friend.
That's true.
A sexual romp, a sexual free-for-all. These are rubrics that I would rather, you know, file this under. Do you think Coach Woodcroft is out coaching? Two questions, two parts. Do you think Coach Woodcroft is out coaching Sutter? And do you think Jay Woodcroft could be, you know, as a young coach, very, very new, you know, just the way he talks and also the way he carries himself and navigates the press conferences, and you get kind of an insight into how he thinks a little bit and how his mind works. I suspect that we might have a little bit of a savant, just a new age hockey guy who
new wave,
new wave. He's like, it's like, he's like fucking New Order, man. He's awesome.
Yeah. He's New Order.
Like New Order fucking rules.
Pretty good.
They're the best new wave band. It's not even really that close. I mean, there's a lot of new wave bands, I guess.
I was a big fan of Madness myself.
Interesting. Interesting.
More my style. New Order kind of, it was like sometime really put me in the dumps.
I feel very spiritually uplifted and inspired by at least one Spandau Ballet song. I'm ashamed Spandau to admit. Ballet,
sure.
We were talking about Marty Robbins on Twitter earlier today. Like, fuck, man, Marty Robbins. The Oilers win song or goal song could be a Marty Robbins song. Actually, I still need to do a guide to singing La Bamba. Even if you don't know how to speak Spanish, are you ready for this? It's going to be very quick.
Okay.
Sing the first couple of lines of La Bamba for me. Let's see how you do.
Alabamba.
No, okay.
Alabamba.
So,
no puss cabezano.
You're just like you're fucking it up on purpose now, bro. You know how to sing La Bamba. Everyone, we got to learn. We got to get ready to sing La Bamba. So the first thing to note, okay, the letter R. You think you know what the letter R is because you know it in English. But if you use the letter R as you understand it in a place like Spain, Italy, Latin America, they have no fucking idea what you're doing. Red, Randy, Randall. It's all in the front of the mouth. Their R isn't even an R at all. It's like what the high priest just did. You just open up your mouth and you go like an ah, like you're at the dentist. Yeah. Ah. So if you can't roll it, which I can't, then just do a very soft R. Para bala la bamba, se necesito un poca de gracia, una poca de gracia, si sa si ya, ya arriba, ya arriba.
Yeah.
So basically, you can kind of treat that R in para bar. You don't want to say para bailar la bamba. You want to just turn it into an L or kind of an ah sound. Para bailar la bamba. I kind of cheat and do it like an L almost. Para bailar, and that sounds 1,000% better to a Spanish person because the R sound in English is actually an abomination. It was instituted by a breakaway Byzantine sect of priests who were Satanists, and they put the letter R into English, or at that time the late antique languages. Anyways, we've got that. We got the Necronomicon scrum after this. That's going to go late. That's going to go to like 4 a.m. Like Stonehenge time. Okay. Anyways, my point is learn how to sing La Bamba, even if you're, you know, a native English speaker who's never spoken any Spanish. Also a fine film, although a little bit depressing, but people are singing along to every song in the arena right now. So I want to hear you singing La Bamba at home and in the arena, boys and girls and non-boy or girl people, everyone else who do exist. Although some people in America would seem to, you know, disagree, like, okay, don't even get me started. Ba-la-ba-la, la bamba. Just turn it into a kind of an L. That's what I do, you know?
Yeah.
When you see an R, don't go, Arrivederci. So I think we've covered most of the important topics.
I'm
really glad we had the La Bamba tutorial because we've been meaning to do that for a while to give us.
I know you've been meaning to get to it.
So we didn't get, we did get a lot of responses to the query for the call for questions on Twitter, but instead of questions, we mostly just got a lot of resentments, a lot of regret, some information on the Rothschilds. I don't know what that means. So we're
the Rothschilds.
We'll file that under non-pertinent. Do you want to see any lineup changes, or do you think this is the lineup we go with to the end of this round?
Yeah, no lineup changes. No, I don't think so. Why?
Yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's what I say. At least not completely.
It's going to be really interesting to see if the Oilers can rise to the occasion, because this winning this game five, if they can, which I think they got a strong chance to, but Calgary's obviously going to come out fucking like a men possessed by mucho macho machismo.
Maybe they will.
Maybe they'll be like, maybe the first time in game five. That's a good first time in the series to show up.
Well, I guess they came up pretty hard in game one too, but
they did, but it was also super wacky. And they gave up a ton of goals, and it was like they weren't playing that game. So
that game was very strange.
Remember the turning point in that game was when Calgary was up by their like maximum lead before we scored those like four straight or whatever. And there was this one Calgary fan with his shirt off, like waving a shirt, being like,
"Whoa!" Oh yeah, I remember
that. I was like, I was like, okay, this, the hockey gods are not going to accept this. And then that's when the turnaround started. I mean, looking back all the way back to like game six of the last series, you know, game six and seven through to games one through four, really like game one was only the really like bad game we played. All the other games were either good or great, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So that's super encouraging as far as I'm concerned. That's six games where was really the only one out of the six where there were some serious issues. And it was the first game of the series.
And they scored six goals, and they came back from a four-goal deficit in a playoff game.
Totally.
Yeah, I don't know. The Oilers, and I know for a fact that Flames fans right now are down in the dumps. There's a Flames fan at my work, and he's very down in the dumps. And my father-in-law is also a Flames fan, and he is also very down in the dumps. So,
sorry to hear that, everyone. Just focus on the positive as much as you can.
Yeah,
we've been there, so we definitely can understand the like.
I mean, horrible, I don't care, like
soul discretion pain. I mean, I don't care either, but I'm trying to be magnanimous.
It's great seeing them down in the dumps.
That's not what magnanimous means. Most people don't know what it means to be magnanimous. I learned it from watching Mad Men. This has probably come up on the pod before. Magnanimity can actually be really, really dangerous because, like, if it's so entrenched that, like, there's always a group of people who have to be magnanimous to another, might have to look at the structure of the organization, you know? Because, if magnanimity is something that becomes rote, habitual, for one thing, you're not going to be fucking critical enough of these people who you're basically like a slave lord over, apparently. You have to be magnanimous to them all the time. You're like, I'm going to be magnanimous and I'm not going to fire you. At the same time,
I'm not going to talk a little trash to these Flames fans now that the Oilers are like whooping them.
I'm going to talk the trash. I'm going to spew the trash. I'm going to dig into their trash, find the receipts for the strip club, and paste them to the front door.
And then
do everything I can. Because they're playing so dirty. They're literally trying to injure our guys every game. That's why we got to end this shit now. Because they're trying to injure our players every game, and we don't want to have to put up with that shit much longer. No fucking team after this, or no other team in the playoffs is going to play as dirty as Calgary played this shit. I'm saying that as someone. Colorado's not that dirty.
I don't know. Nazem Kadri's got a real edge. He's got a real edge.
Kadri,
it's got an edge.
Like, compared to the cadre of players on the Flames that are playing dirty. I mean, I'm surprised they're playing this dirty without Giordano, but I shouldn't inflame the passions. Should keep the fires.
I don't think the Flames are playing that dirty, to be honest with you.
They're
playing like barely playing at all.
What they're focused on is playing dirty. That's basically what they're trying to do. And they're achieving it, but it's not winning them a hockey game because they're not playing the hockey game. And the Oilers are a fucking better team, too. I don't care if we finish behind them. Right now, we're a better fucking team. So let's
go. Way better.
Like, wave the fucking flags and whoop whoop and raise the roof and all the rest. Any final words for the turtles out there listening from their aquariums and various aquatic and non-aquatic habitats?
No real final words. I think it's a pretty late game tomorrow, isn't it?
Why am I surprised?
At like 9:45 at night.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so...
Or wait, hold on. No, that's 9:30 Eastern time.
So it's like 11:30 in Edmonton. It starts. Puck drop 11:30.
No, it's going to be... 5:30 Edmonton time.
Is it really?
Yeah. 7:30 p.m. Mountain time. No, I lied. I'm so full of shit. No, sorry. Yeah. It's 6:30 my time because you're an hour ahead of me.
7:30 my time.
I always end up like getting that doubly wrong. I'll like forget that you're ahead of me, and instead I'll like add another the wrong way, so I'm off by like two.
Yeah. So I guess it's not that late of a start. So just make sure you have, you know, as per usual, keep yourself clean, have a shower. But you want to look your best when you watch the game. You want to look your best, feel your best, smell your best. You can't watch the game with self-respect if you smell like a pile of trash. Cold Pepsi in the fridge. Snacks.
Wait. Was that comment directed at anyone in particular?
I kind of heard the
direction of your head change towards my direction. It was a reminder
for myself. Cereal bowl of snacks, just enough for one period. I recommend walks at the break. I don't know if I've talked about this before, but I sometimes take a quick constitutional during the period breaks.
Smart.
Just to kind of like, I think I have mentioned it before, but I'd recommend doing that. And let's let's wrap this thing up and then just think of how sweet it'll be to like lord this over Calgary until, I mean, it could be years before the Edmonton and the Flames meet up in another playoff battle of Alberta. Because regular season, I mean, after this, like a regular season battle of Alberta doesn't really mean shit after this. Like if the Oilers win this playoff battle of Alberta.
That's why my mind left my body, because the blowout game one, I was just like, I can't listen to Flames fans talking shit about this shit for years now, because obviously I wrote the script a little too quickly on both that game and the series in general, because we've totally we looked great three games in a row. I know, we have little faith.
You take it to the mattresses pretty fast, my friend.
I really do. I remember Bartzini.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Well, let's leave it there. Let's just throw a tarp over it. Maybe kick up some leaves and dirt. Hope that nobody really notices. I don't want this to become a legal issue or any kind of like ethical quandary. So I'd appreciate if you deleted any recordings of this on your end. And for all those listening, I'd appreciate if you followed us on Twitter, told your friends and relatives, don't ever listen to this podcast. In fact, this podcast never existed. This podcast is akin to a cryptozoological critter. Ooh. That people are ridiculed for speaking of.
They're so afraid of being ridiculed.
Well, I mean, nobody likes to be made fun of. All right, well, I shall retire to my ante room, and I will look forward to the match tomorrow.
Okay.
As you should as well, and have a nice night, and I bid you a fond adieu.
Okay, see you later.
Bye.
Adieu to you too.
Ça va.